Hi, my name is Eric Edwards. I played Pearl in the phenomenal movie Blade, and this is the Vampire Movie Minute.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies that I deem to be worthy enough on my podcast, which honestly would account for anything except for I'm not going to do 30 million versions of Dracula. The next film we're going to do is probably the more recent vampire movie. Everyone's asked, Sinners? And I'm like, no, I am way too white to do Sinners. Blade at least has like some cross-culture stuff going on in it. But Sinners, I would definitely need a black co-host to come on with. Because Sinners, unlike Blade, really played into the heaviness of African-American in the white world of America. Whereas Blade, they never touch upon it. Don't you agree?
By comparison, for sure. Absolutely. It's way different.
Yeah. And also, the vampires in that movie are the white people.
Uh-huh.
And also, there's the Ku Klux Klan. Something I don't think Blade has ever fought. But do you know what famous superhero has fought the Ku Klux Klan?
Superman.
Superman, in an Eisner Award-winning story, which honestly, if people haven't read, and they say comic books have gotten woke, I'm like, excuse the fuck out of me. Superman versus the Ku Klux Klan is at least 70 years old from a radio broadcast where he was defending black people before they changed it to a Korean family.
But who cares about history, right?
Right. But somehow things have all suddenly become woke. And I'm like, like Star Trek. Star Trek is just so woke now. And I'm like, you didn't realize George Takei has been gay his entire life, right? Like, that's... Oh, let me guess. You would have never watched Star Trek because the guy who drove the ship was a homosexual. FYI, the greatest Batman ever was also a homosexual, and I've thrown people for a loop with that.
What, Adam West? No, Kevin Conroy. Sorry.
Kevin Conroy, yes. Don't ever do that again. Yes, Kevin Conroy. And in sadness is the fact that he came out just before he died. Mm. Like, it feels like he knew it was his time to go. And he came out in a story published by DC Comics in a Pride issue, and then he died.
I thought that was, I guess, maybe probably within, like, inner circles and just people that just know.
People probably knew, yes. Probably Mark Hamill probably knew, Paul Dini, Bruce Timm, but publicly, they could keep a secret. On to something more enlightening and happier. Joining me once again for these minutes is...
Aaron Newworth from We Live Entertainment and Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Minutes 50-55 of Blade has Pearl twitching. And then he getting fried a little bit more, and she's like, he moved.
The demise of Pearl is something I very much enjoy, given that it's rare that a character is only on screen for maybe a couple minutes, and I'm like, I would not mind this person dying a horrible death. Like, it's such a displeasure to look at this thing. Like, it's one thing... Like, it's designed so specifically to be like, I don't want any part of any of this. Like, it's not, like, morbidly obese in a way that's, like, some kind of genetic problem or something that you can feel sorry for. It's just like, no, it's just designed to be this disgusting creature thing in the vampire world with this, like, ridiculous face and annoying voice. Like, everything about Pearl I just despise, like, within instance, which I'd like to think was the purpose. Like, is the... funny-ish, like, the things that he says, like, entertaining to watch, the chemistry between him and Blade, I guess, but the fact that the solution was, let's fry this thing, I'm like, yeah, that seems like a better use of our time with Pearl.
I mean, he's not as charming as, let's say, another famous child murderer, and pedophile, probably, Frederick Krueger?
Hey, Krueger, yeah.
Whereas we do seem to embrace Freddy and love him, you know, if you watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, A New Nightmare, Wes Craven's A New Nightmare, like, Heather Langenkamp puts it right out there that people, like, love Freddy. He's more famous than Santa Claus. At the time, you know, I don't think so anymore, but, and I'm like, did we also forget he probably touched children inappropriately before killing them, most likely? Just want to put that out there?
I know the newer remake, which is god-awful, makes that, like, much more explicit.
Well, they make it explicit in the way that, like, he's, like, mentally retarded, so he doesn't know what he's doing is wrong. And
there's
I'm
a
like,
lot of problems
no,
with that remake. So
don't do that. Don't make it the, I don't know touching children is bad kind of way.
It's a terrible thing.
It's a terrible movie.
But, I mean, the between child murder and, like, the design of it, it looks a lot like, what's the X-Men thing? Was it Mojo?
Yeah, or
Mojo
there's a,
Jojo?
There's Mojo. Yeah, but he's a giant alien. But there's also a character called the Slug. He appeared in, like, the Web of Spider-Man annual during the High Evolutionary War. That's the only thing I ever remember him in. He's this giant, fat, black-suited, not black guy, but, like, Italian.
Oh, yeah, I remember this character.
Yeah,
okay.
He's just this giant slug thing. And I'm like, is that him? Because I didn't know who Pearl was. Like, my knowledge of Blade when this movie came out was, it was okay, but I have a deeper, like, you know, like, oh, he was actually raised by the Jazz Man, and Saffron is his longtime love, and she, you know, got killed off, but I guess she didn't really die. She kind of faked her death, disappeared, and she had a daughter. Now Blade has a daughter who's a cool character with purple hair, you know, and she's got a thing with Miles Morales once in a while. You know, stuff like that. Like, so I know the deep, intricate stuff of Blade, because I've read every issue Blade has ever appeared in this now, today. Whereas when I first saw this movie, no. I had probably never read a Blade comic book, but I knew who he was, and I had seen the two episodes he was on of Spider-Man, or more. At that point, he had been on 5 episodes. The two episodes where Morbius comes back and his mom is the queen of the vampires now.
Yes.
And then there's the Secret Wars episode where Morbius, Blade, and Felicia are fighting vampires led by Blade's mom, and then Felicia gets sucked into Battle World, the Secret Wars.
All right.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the movie, we'll get to, who was supposed to appear in the Blade sequel, but that's for a whole other story if I ever actually cover Blade 2. Pearl is dead, or, well, we hear still him moaning, so maybe they come back for the sequel.
Yeah, it's not really clarified if Pearl is in fact dead or not. I don't need to see more Pearl, so I don't, you know, mind the... Wait, no, I guess because she's probably died, right? But I don't...
Yeah. We also get we get our fight scene with the actress in a previous episode. I mentioned I wanted to have her on the show. And she was just like this little girl at the party, but now she's like trying to kick Blade's butt, and he blocks every single kick.
She's still putting up a fight for someone that's like half his size. I mean,
she's doing really good. She's got the vampire powers and all. Not clear if she's like an actual born vampire, or is she like a turned kid? You know, there's no indication. She doesn't have any lines, and that's probably due to the Screen Actors Guild. You know what I mean? Like, certain people can get lines and certain people can't.
Assume, like, turned kid, like, some kind of just twisted world that they exist in, where they're like, yeah, one of them got wild and decided to, like, bite a kid at some point, now they just live with him.
Right.
A Kirsten Dunst situation.
Quinn has Pearl's hand is pretty funny. Quinn has Pearl's hand.
Oh, that is what it is. Okay, that makes way more sense. You know what? I never really pieced that together before.
Oh,
that
no, it's like, what are you not getting about this? He has Pearl's hand. He chopped it off so he can have his hand.
No, you know what? Because I've always noticed the Quinn hand is like, it's a messed up hand. Like, it looks weird. I never pieced together the fact that that is Pearl's hand.
He chopped it off and gave it to himself.
So he just got a new one.
He just got
it. Says that. It wasn't like, okay.
He stakes Blade. And then runs the blade along Karen in a very sexual way.
Yeah, you know, I was just watching that. I was like, I'd like to hope that there was a talk that he's going to do something like that beforehand.
Right, but of course, the idiot vampire picks up Blade's sword and chomps.
His pig stick.
Yeah. I got his pig sticker! Ha 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 ha! My hand blew off!
Yeah, he does not seem fazed by the fact that his hand got blown off.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's having a grand old time.
And then the wall is blown off, and we get one of the best lines from the good guys.
Catch you fuckers at a bad time?
Yeah, my Whistler showing up to save Blade's ass. And then Quinn immediately sees him and is like, get him! They know exactly who that is.
My main thing during most of this, though, is when, you know, after the girl starts fighting him, then all the more professional martial artists start coming in and fighting on Blade. And they are knocking the shit out of these vampire archives with their Bible and all this stuff. I'm like, don't they care about their like sacred texts?
In the previous scene, he decoded the message. He has the information he needs, he doesn't need those anymore. I mean,
I get that to a point, but it's all that's still like.
It's
ancient scroll stuff. Like, it's not. If Deacon was there, maybe I'd get that more. It's just I'm watching this thinking. I feel like they'd care about this room a little bit.
I don't think they know what it is at all, but they're not privy to it. But Deacon just wants the deciphering of it all. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Deacon's not there, so if they don't know what it is, I would assume they'd think, huh, this must be one of our like ancient vampire text rooms in our vampire lair that we have. We're really destroying the shit out of it right now.
Do you think Quinn is that much of a deep thinker?
He got a new hand. He's putting some thought together. He's not killing Blade right away. He knows he has to bring him back alive.
Yeah. I mean, Donald Lowe has never played the smart guy. I mean, when he was, don't forget, he was Harvey Bullock on Gotham for 5 seasons.
Uh-huh.
The only live action Harvey Bullock we've ever gotten to. Longtime Batman character, and he was fantastic in the role because that is Harvey Bullock to the T. You know, that kind of disgruntled attitude, kind of a possibly a dirty cop, but. Still a good cop, but probably doing bad things for.
It was a good casting when they cast him as Bullock. That kind of makes sense.
Best, yeah. He's done multiple comic book roles as well. I don't have any
Ghost Rider, of course.
Yeah. I don't have any idea who the vampire is who picked up the pig sticker and gets his hand blown off, and I already discussed who the little girl is. But Whistler throws a bomb, and it starts ticking down, and that's how we end our 5 minutes.
Again, I don't mind Whistler blowing up this room. That makes sense to me. They're just tearing this place apart. It's just guy. I get it. They don't care. I'm just looking at this thing like, huh, they're causing a lot of damage in this place.
With the fact that they had all that stuff archived, Blade was interested in it. I was surprised he didn't grab something on the way out, just like one of those sheets to bring back to Whistler and be like, I grabbed this before you blew up the room. They had it pristine. It was a clean room too, by the way. That's a clean room. So. And I've been in clean rooms before. I was in the clean room. I was in the Providence Public Library that has the original scripted, handwritten, and typed out notes and books by one Howard Philip Lovecraft.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Which I would say Blade, Guillermo del Toro, Blade 2, a lot of things that you see, the imagery and stuff like that, the unknown gods from above, come from H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Has the Marvel Universe ever encountered H.P. Lovecraft's works? Kinda, sorta. We have the we have C'thon and we have the Darkhold. But the Necronomicon, yes, the Necronomicon has been in the Marvel Universe. I actually have the issue where it makes its first appearance, but not the Elder Gods and not like Cthulhu. Very strange. They have never really used those before, as far as I'm aware. I think the Shulin Garath or whatever, the giant eyeball tentacle demon Doctor Strange fights, which is shown in the second Doctor Strange movie very quickly, but has a different name for it, that is based on an H.P. Lovecraft monster. So,
I was trying to find who is the actor that gets the sword, gets his hand. It's Matt Schultz, which is that's not a nobody.
who? What was he in?
Matt Schultz is in the first Fast and Furious, of course. He's Vince. He's the one that's most against Brian.
Oh, nice.
He's also back in Blade 2 as Chupa, Ron Perlman's main guys.
Interesting.
In that movie. And he's in The Transporter, of course, is the main bad guy in The Transporter.
Oh, that probably has something to do with Stephen Goyer probably being involved with all three of these films.
So there you go.
Hmm. Where can people find you, dude?
You can find me co-hosting the podcast Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. My friend Terrence and I talk about the Godzilla films on a bi-weekly basis in chronological order. At this point, we're probably in the Destroy All Monsters area at some point. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I co-host Out Now with Aaron and Abe, a weekly movie review podcast as well. I write for We Live Entertainment for movie reviews, and I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
Awesome. And you can find me over on the Dead TV podcast covering Blade, the TV series with Kirk Sticky Smith Jones, Sticky Fingers Jones, and check out my own Blade, or sorry, my own vampire-related project, which is on Kickstarter. At the time that this recording is being posted, Killeen the Vampire, a sequel to Vlada, a Dracula Tale. We gender swap the cast of Dracula. This is the sequel spinoff. And we could use your help trying to hit our goal of $7,000. Our artists on it are Tim Vigil from Faust and Matt Slay. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. Check out my Kickstarter happening right now. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Blade.